Hi. I'm going to talk a little bit more about marriage. This is in no particular order. I know I put a number beside the title, but you can just grab one of the marriage talks and just listen to it, and you'll still learn something because I'm learning with you. I'm by no means an expert. We've been married 15 years, and sometimes I feel like we're just figuring things out because don't we all change within marriage? Every year, every season of life, who we are. I'm for sure not the same as I was when I was 22 and just married. I wanted to talk a little bit about submission. But first, I wanted to talk a little bit. I had mentioned the last talk, part two, about getting up early with your husband, how I do that. And I wanted to say, yes, I may get up at 4 something with my husband, set him off with his lunch and breakfast and all that and say, see you soon. But I usually spend, if you're at all thinking, wow, she's up at 4 and she can, that's really early. I agree. It is really early. I know it's a guarantee my kids will not be up at 4:30. It's a guarantee. They have never woken up at 4:30. So what I usually do when my husband leaves is I go up into bed and I turn on my lamp, put my glasses on, and I read my Bible. I could study something. I could even listen to a podcast, or I don't listen to many podcasts, to be honest. Maybe I'll listen to a podcast based on a teaching. Maybe I want to learn a little bit more about Passover or something like that. I have found that I just want to concentrate on the Bible, and all the other stuff has been a little bit more a fluff for me lately. It distracts me from God's word, and I don't want that. I'm so hungry for his word and understanding that all other fluff, well, is fluff. So I spend that time in God's word. It could be even for 30 minutes, maybe an hour, that I'll read something. I will listen to something. And sometimes even, because my kids do not wake up early anymore, it's such a blessing. They're usually up. It depends on how late they were up. If it's nice weather out in Minnesota, we only have so many months that it's nice out. We will let them stay up late and run around with neighbors, or we'll have a fire, or we'll let them go to bed at 10. We are homeschoolers, so we follow our own schedule. So that means sometimes they'll wake up 8. Okay. But remember, I don't have newborns or babies right now. So I remember what it was like trying to fit in the Lord's, sitting with the Lord, taking quiet time. It was really difficult. But we have to make it happen. There is really no excuse. It's like saying, oh, I'm too busy. Well, everyone's busy. But we still, if we are to do anything, it's to be in God's word. So I would encourage you, you can listen to your Bible on audio. You could play worship songs, hymns, things like that throughout the day. So even if it's 5 minutes here and it's 5 minutes there, the Lord knows where you're at in your season of life. He isn't expecting you or disappointed. Sorry, he's not disappointed with how much you're trying. But my season of life, so all seasons of life are different in motherhood. My season right now is I could go back to sleep. Sometimes I do, even for like a half an hour. My eyes get so tired from waking up. Because sometimes I don't even go to bed early like my husband does before work. I'll stay up to finish something or just read. Or, you know, sit with my teenager and talk with her before bed because she's a night person. So all of a sudden these teenagers and bigger kids need our time one-on-one. So sometimes I don't go to bed until late, and so I'm quite tired. Oftentimes after I listen to something or read, I will go back to bed for a little bit and then wake up when I wake up, and I will once again wake up before my kids because they tend to sleep, and I will open my Bible again with my cup of cacao or cup of coffee and sit and read again. So I wanted you to know that you don't have to stay up. If you're waking up early with your husband, it's okay if you need to fall back asleep a little bit to sustain your day, because we are doing a lot. Some days we're like, what did we all do? But truly, we do a lot throughout the day as mothers and wives and women. Okay, so submission. Now, a lot of people can say, I don't want to talk about that. They either shriek from it, they go, nope, I don't want to talk. It's a little scary. And I'm not sure, I don't know. So, okay, let's say we've never heard the word submission, but we've just read from the Bible. Here we go. So pretend you haven't heard anything negative about submission. Okay. Ephesians 5:21. And further. Oh, here's the title before that paragraph. It says Spirit-guided relationships, wives and husbands. Spirit-guided, Holy Spirit. He's our compass. He's our, he gives us direction. He speaks to us. No, don't say that. Go there. Don't go there. Stop. Go. He is the one that directs us as believers. Spirit-guided relationships. I want to be spirit-guided as a wife, don't you? Verse 21, chapter 5 of Ephesians, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit your husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Doesn't that sound wonderful? That doesn't sound oppressive. It doesn't sound scary to me. Does it to you? See, this meaning of passage wasn't meant for us to be scared of submitting to our husbands. Do you see that he's supposed to submit to Christ also? Yep. Do you see that he is supposed to love us just as Christ loved us? And do you see how we are to respect him? And I think we all know we need love more than respect. Men need respect more than love. Yes, we need both. But I think you can see that we need that love. If a man isn't shown respect, that's everything. It's like the moral code of manhood. It's respect. It's respect with each other. And my husband teaches our boys that we need a man of honor. You know, you watch John Wayne movies, and oftentimes he has shown up as a man of honor when everybody is a bunch of I don't know the word, not honorable men in the town. It's probably some Western, yeah, of course it's a Western, it's John Wayne, but it's more of a, you know, everyone's all over the place and he, this is right or it's wrong. It's black or white. We need to also show, we need to show our men respect. We need to respect them. And I also notice it in my young boy who's 11. I have an 11 and a 9-year-old boy right now. Yep, I can see respect when I don't respect my son. I'm talking in particular to my older one because he is mature beyond his years. He's always had an old soul since he was young. If I don't show him respect, if I'm having a hard day and I just decide to take it out on my kids, I can see that I've hit a wound when I don't respect him. So it even goes to our young boys. Mamas, we need to be careful of that. So try to think of submitting as a beautiful thing because it goes both ways. My husband always says it's not 50-50, it's 100% and 100%. You give 100 and I give 100 and look at where we are. I know there may be times that you haven't had a good example of submission. Maybe you are learning. Maybe you, one spouse isn't showing the respect or love. I would pray about it. Honestly, there's no solution to it. I'm not going to give you a why they do that or why are you doing that. I think it's just, it comes down to we need to be praying for them and for ourselves to change. Lord, change my selfish attitude that for some reason, not some reason, we are selfish human beings, but Lord, change me. Strip away the old ways so you can show me how to respect my husband. Show me, Lord, because maybe, ladies, we have never had that example in our father, our earthly father. Maybe our husbands have never had the example how to love a woman because maybe their dad didn't give them a good example or somehow society has taught them to kind of point their finger at women and submit and throw around that word like it's not a beautiful word. So I didn't really plan on how to talk about submission. I didn't even look up the word, the real definition. Sometimes I like to do that. I just asked the Lord to lead my words because I felt like it could very easily be where our wall is up and we could go, oh, I really dislike that talk about submission. So I thought, actually, I'm going to read it in Ephesians and make it a beautiful thing because it is. So I have always said too, I love submitting to my husband because I want it to sound like it's not a bad thing. I love submitting to Aaron. When he makes a really big decision for our family, I love that. I maybe want to do something else, but in the end, I say, honey, it is up to you because I am so overwhelmed by this decision. You lead. I respect your decision. We need to do that. Yes? Excuse that interruption. Also, when we're submitting to the Lord too. So it's God, our spouse, and then our children. Yep, and then push start. Thank you. She's heating up the oven for supper. I wrote down in my journal, submission to the Lord. And then I said, comma, husband. I'm going to look up something that I wrote down. I wonder what it says. It says 1 Corinthians 3:10. I will put these scriptures in the notes for the podcast, okay? 1 Corinthians 3:10 to 11. Ooh, I think I always love talking about foundations, what legacy we're giving. Okay, so verse 10, because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. I love the word grace. Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Because of God's great grace, ladies, we can be forgiven for our past actions or even current, what we're acting like in our marriage. Thank goodness for God's grace and forgiveness, right? It says now others are building on it. Right when I read that, I view it as our children. They're building on it. They're recognizing what our marriage is. Mom, yeah.
Can you cut it like this?
Yep, just cut it like that. Be very careful. Now others are building on it, but whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. So us and our children, yep, be careful because guess what? For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. If it is not Jesus Christ as the foundation of our marriage, it will crumble. It's sand underneath. It may stand for a little bit, but it will crumble. Our foundation has to be in Christ in our marriage. And if you think the other half is not quite there and you're not on the same page, where maybe you're giving 100 and the other person is giving 10, keep praying. Keep praying, ladies. That's my only answer. I don't know any other solution. I don't want to give a 10 point list on how to make your spouse do this. and have a perfect marriage. No marriage is perfect. I'm not perfect. Therefore, our marriages are not going to be perfect. Pray. Ask the Lord to lead you, what He is working through you. Oftentimes, whenever I am upset or irritable at my spouse, it is always me that I will look back upon and see it was me as the problem. It wasn't them. They were doing something that simply irritated me, and I wanted to be selfish and I wanted my way and only my way. So think of that. When you're fighting to get your way, and maybe you're upset because they decided something else, maybe recognize that your husband has wisdom and he is following his discernment on what is right for his family. If you are wanting a God-honoring man that follows the Lord and he is making decisions based on what is right for the family, and you interject and try to fight against that, that's not wise of us. Sometimes it's best to sit back, put your hand over your mouth, and let him make that decision. And oftentimes, ladies, we look back and we go, oh, wow, good thing I kept my mouth shut, because that was, yeah, he was right. I think about 98% of the time I keep my mouth shut. I'm always glad I do, because he makes really good decisions, where me, I make them usually out of emotion. Thank goodness the Lord made men logical. I will make irrational, emotional-based decisions right at the moment. That's one of the benefits of putting our hands over our mouth and going, wait a second, have I even brought this to the Lord? Or am I just letting it all out? So pray for your marriage, pray for you, pray for them. Ask the Lord for direction and wisdom. Yes. Oh, okay. Hold on 1 second. Okay, let me pray with you ladies before I go. That's what I wanted to quick talk about. I will probably have a couple more of these as ideas come my way. Okay, dear Lord, thank you so much for humbling us, for teaching us. If there's any woman that is convicted or emotional over what I just talked about, Lord, would you comfort them and direct them into the next step that they need to make within their marriage? Lord, if you're asking us to strip away everything that has been holding on to us, either from the examples we've seen from parents or friends, Lord, help us want to strip all that off of us. Create us new. Create us new. Rejuvenate our marriage. And Lord, remind us that we have a part in it, that we can't keep on pointing our fingers towards the other one. Direct us and lead us, Lord. Holy Spirit, talk to us. Lead us. And help us listen and obey. Help us listen and obey to you. Lord, bless our spouses at this time. Give them wisdom and discernment. Give them love and respect. And let us be able to show the same to them. Thank you, Lord, for marriages. Thank you, Lord. We love you so much. Amen. We'll talk soon, ladies.